All right, let's dive in. Today we're heading to the
The
Maldives.
Maldives, yeah.
Sun, sand, those overwater bungalow.
Right, picture perfect, right.
But we're going deeper than the travel brochures. We've got a Wikipedia article and this Maldives.pdf document.
Lots to uncover.
Yeah. History, culture, environment, and what the future might hold for this amazing place.
Well, it's a fascinating place.
It is.
A microcosm, really, of the challenges the whole planet is facing. Paradise and peril, all wrapped up in one.
Okay, let's start with the peril. I mean, climate change is a huge EE deal here. We're talking about a country that could literally disappear.
Right. It's not just a theory for them.
No.
Former President Mohamed Nasheed, he really brought this threat to the world's attention.
Yeah, I remember that underwater cabinet meeting.
Exactly. That was more than a publicity stunt. It was a powerful image. The whole world was watching, made people pay attention to what the Maldives are up against.
Yeah, it definitely got people talking. So for those of us who haven't been there, paint us a picture. Just how vulnerable are the Maldives, geographically speaking?
Okay, so imagine this. 1,192 coral islands,
Wow.
grouped into 26 atolls, spread over this huge area of ocean, like 90,000 square kilometers. But only 298 square kilometers of that is actual land, one of the most dispersed countries in the world.
It's crazy, that much ocean, but so little land.
Right, and the average ground level is barely a meter and a half above sea level. So
Wow.
you can see why rising seas are such a huge threat.
Yeah, they're on the front line for sure. But these islands weren't always facing this kind of threat, were they?
Oh, definitely not. The Maldives has this incredible history going back centuries, maybe
Oh,
even to the 5th century BCE.
that far back.
Yeah. Early settlers probably came from Sri Lanka and India, brought their cultures with them.
Oh, interesting.
You can still see those influences today. It's like this multi-layered history.
And I'm seeing in this Wikipedia article there was a pretty big Buddhist period.
Absolutely, yeah. Buddhism flourished there, starting around the 3rd century BCE. It's amazing. You can still see the archaeological remains from that time. Art, architecture, their language really developed during that period.
That's fascinating. And then, let's see, around the 12th century, traders brought Islam to the Maldives. There's this story about a guy, Abu al-Barakat Yusuf al-Barbari, who converted the king to Islam.
Yeah, it's a pivotal moment, a big shift in Maldivian history and culture. As Islam spread, it changed everything. Social structures, laws, daily life. And you can still see that transition reflected today. You know, the move from Buddhism to Islam, it's in their architecture, their customs. It's a reminder that even places that seem remote and unchanging,
They evolve.
exactly, they're always evolving.
So we've talked about their history, but what about their culture today? What makes them unique beyond the perfect beaches?
Well, they've got their own language, DV. It's related to Sinhala, spoken in Sri Lanka,
Yeah.
part of the Indo-Aryan language family.
Okay.
But what's really cool is their writing system, Thana, written from right to left. Yeah, different from most other Indo-Aryan languages, like a secret code.
I love that. And what about the people, the Maldivian people themselves?
Predominantly Dvehi, but you see traces of Arab, Sri Lankan, and South Asian influences, all blended together. It's in their music, their food, their traditions. It's really a melting pot shaped by being at this crossroads of ancient trade routes.
Sounds amazing. But let's shift gears a bit and talk about their political situation. They became independent from Britain in 1965, is that right?
That's right, yeah. And it's been a journey with both progress and challenges. They established a multi-party democracy in 2008, but maintaining stability and human rights, that's been an ongoing effort. It shows that democracy is a process, not an endpoint. Even young democracies face these hurdles.
For sure. So, what's it actually like to live in a place that could be quite literally swallowed by the sea?
It's a unique way of life. Land is scarce, they rely heavily on imports, and of course, the sea is at the heart of everything. Transportation, fishing, livelihoods, even waste disposal. It's a constant reminder of their vulnerability, but also this deep connection they have with the ocean.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Speaking of the ocean, we've talked about rising sea levels, but what about the bigger picture, the environment as a whole? What else are they dealing with?
They have this amazingly diverse marine ecosystem. You've got the deep ocean, shallow coasts, mangroves, and those incredible coral reefs. And the biodiversity is just astounding. Hundreds of coral species, thousands of types of fish and mollusks.
Wow.
Even whale sharks and sea turtles. It's incredible.
That's amazing. But I imagine those ecosystems are facing more than just rising sea levels, right?
Absolutely. They're dealing with coral bleaching events, pollution from waste disposal, and of course, the pressure of tourism development. It's a real balancing act, trying to grow their economy while protecting their environment.
And the stakes are high.
Extremely high.
You know, in the last part, we were talking about those coral reefs,
Yeah.
and it just struck me how, like, the fate of those reefs is connected to the fate of the whole country.
Oh, absolutely. It's like their canary in the coal mine. You
Exactly.
know, back in 1998, they had this terrible coral bleaching event.
Oh, right.
Sea temperatures way higher than normal, and it was devastating. Two-thirds of the coral reefs were just wiped out.
That's awful. But I read somewhere that those reefs have started to recover.
They have, yeah.
Isn't it interesting how, like, they found that in some areas the coral grew back so much faster?
Yeah, five times faster on surfaces without metal.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that wild? It just shows you how these ecosystems, even after something like that, they can bounce back.
It does give you hope, doesn't it?
It does.
That even with climate change, there's still a chance.
Yeah.
And speaking of resilience, the Maldivian people themselves, they've had to adapt so much throughout their history.
All the time. I mean, think about it. They switched from Buddhism to Islam. They went through colonial rule.
Yeah.
And now this, climate change, it's like nothing they've ever seen before.
Unprecedented.
And through it all, they've kept their culture,
Yeah.
adapted to these, I mean, seriously tough situations.
They really have. And their language, Divi, shows that,
Oh, yeah.
it's Indo-Aryan, like we said, related to Sinhala from Sri Lanka. But the writing system, Theana, it came from Arabic numerals.
Fascinating.
And it's written, get this, from right to left.
Wow.
Like, I'm trying to picture, it's blowing my mind.
Yeah, it's so unique.
It really is. They took all these different influences and made something totally their own.
Exactly. They're not just copying,
No.
they're creating.
All right, so we've talked about their history, their culture, but what about everyday life in the Maldives? What's it like for the people who live there?
Life there is completely tied to the ocean. It's how they get food,
Right.
how they get around,
Yeah.
and even, unfortunately, where they have to put their waste.
Ah.
Living on these islands, everything comes back to the ocean.
Wow.
It's incredible, but it's also a huge challenge, especially with all the environmental problems.
And you mentioned waste. That makes me think, how do they even deal with that on these tiny islands? I mean, the pictures always show these pristine beaches.
Right, picture perfect.
Yeah.
But there's another side to that.
Yeah.
Back in the 90s, they had serious problems with waste near the capital, Male.
Oh, no.
It became a real crisis. It showed just how fragile things are, you know. How do you balance development and protect the environment at the same time?
Yeah, tough question. And they've made progress, but it's still a struggle.
Oh, for sure, especially with so little land.
And tourism doesn't help, does it?
It's complicated. Tourism, it's their biggest source of income.
Right.
But it also puts a lot of stress on the islands. You need resorts, you need infrastructure, you need fresh water, and all that impacts the environment, which is already so fragile. Finding a balance between the economy and protecting their home, that's the biggest challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's talk a bit about their political system. They've been a republic since 1965,
Independent, yep.
but their path to democracy hasn't been smooth sailing, right?
It's been bumpy.
Yeah.
They set up a multi-party system in 2008.
Okay.
But keeping things stable, protecting human rights, it's an ongoing process.
It is.
It just shows that democracy is delicate, even in a place as beautiful as the Maldives.
It really is. Okay, so we've got this political landscape, all the environmental challenges, but I'm curious about their laws. Islam plays a big role,
A
right?
huge role. Their constitution says Islam is the official religion.
Okay.
No laws can go against Islamic principles.
Interesting.
Sharia law is really important, especially for family issues, inheritance, the justice system. But they also say people have freedom of thought and conscience.
So non-Muslims are okay.
They can practice, but in private.
Okay, so it sounds like they're trying to find that middle ground
Yeah.
between religious principles and individual freedom.
It's a tough one.
It is.
And it's something that people debate a lot in the Maldives. How do you interpret Islamic law in a modern world?
Yeah, that's a question a lot of countries are dealing with, I think.
Absolutely.
It just shows you, even in a place that seems like paradise, you've got these complex
Oh,
issues.
yeah, for sure.
Okay, last question. Their economy, it all comes down to tourism and fishing, right?
Pretty much, yeah. Tourism is the big one.
Okay.
those incredible beaches, luxury resorts, it draws in millions of visitors.
Good for the economy.
Great for the economy.
Yeah.
But like we've been talking about, there's also a responsibility.
Yeah, to make it sustainable.
Make sure tourism doesn't destroy the very things that make the Maldives so special.
Exactly. And fishing, their other big industry, I imagine that's facing its own problems.
Oh, yeah, big time. Overfishing, climate change, pollution, it all adds up. It's a threat to the fish,
yeah.
And it's a threat to the people who depend on them. When your economy is so tied to nature.
Yeah, it's risky.
It's risky.
And then they can't really fall back on agriculture with limited land.
No, they have to import a lot of their food, which means they're vulnerable to, you know, changes in global prices.
Supply chains.
Exactly.
It's tough. They need to diversify, find new ways to bring in money.
Absolutely.
So it's a nation facing some really big problems. Climate change, political transitions, a vulnerable economy.
Yeah.
But they're also incredibly resourceful.
Oh, yeah, they are.
In the next part, we'll explore what the future holds for them. Will they be able to adapt?
It's the question, isn't it?
It is.
But one thing's for sure, they're not going down without a fight. They're coming up with new solutions, pushing for change globally, and they're showing the world what it means to fight for your home.
Inspiring.
It really is.
Wow. It's hard to believe we're already at the final part of our deep dive into the Maldives.
I know, right?
We've covered so much. Ancient history, those Buddhist temples, climate change, what it's like to live on these tiny islands.
It's been a journey.
It really has. And, you know, it's easy to get, well, kind of pessimistic when you think about climate change, especially in a place like the Maldives. They're right on the front lines.
Yeah.
But they're not just giving up, are they?
Absolutely not. The Maldivian people, they're fighters. And they're coming up with some incredible ways to deal with this.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. In the last part, we were talking about how tourism is, well, a bit of a double-edged sword, right?
It is.
Good for the economy, but not always good for the environment. So what are they doing to make tourism more sustainable?
Well, they're really pushing ecotourism.
Okay.
Encouraging resorts to go green, you know, use renewable energy, cut down on waste, protect the marine life.
Makes sense.
They're also investing in things like solar power.
Oh, cool.
Desalination plants, too. So less reliance on fossil fuels, making better use of the resources they've got.
That's smart. But what about the rising sea levels? Can they actually protect the islands themselves?
They're trying to. Building seawalls. They're even making artificial islands. Moving communities that are most at risk.
Wow.
Remember those traditional boats? The donies.
Yeah.
They're looking at those for inspiration.
Really?
Exploring floating architecture. Imagine whole communities living on platforms that move with the tides.
Like floating cities.
Exactly. It's futuristic stuff.
It's amazing. It's like they're combining old traditions with this cutting edge technology.
Right.
Adapting to this new world.
Exactly. And it's not just about physical changes.
No.
They're also fighting on a global level.
Okay.
You know, former President Nasheed, he really put the Maldives on the map with that underwater cabinet meeting.
He did.
They're speaking out, calling for action from the rest of the world.
Yeah, it shows you, even a small country can make a big difference.
For sure.
But it must be tough, facing this uncertain future. What's the mood like in the Maldives?
I mean, there's definitely a sense of urgency.
Yeah.
And that's understandable. But there's also this incredible resilience, this determination to hold on to their culture. Their way of life, their home. They're not just waiting for the sea to take over. They're fighting back.
That's inspiring to hear. So as we wrap up this deep dive, what are the big takeaways you hope our listeners will remember?
Well, I hope it's been eye-opening, first of all, about climate change. What's happening in the Maldives, it's a warning for all of us.
Yeah.
It's a global problem
that
needs global solutions.
Yeah.
We all need to do our part.
Absolutely. And I think beyond the climate change stuff, the Maldives shows us the power of the human spirit.
Yeah.
They've been through so much.
They have.
But they always find a way to adapt.
Always.
Their story is all about innovation, determination, and how connected we are to the natural world.
Beautifully said. And, you know, we've focused on the serious side of things.
Right.
But I don't want people to forget how beautiful the Maldives is.
Oh, it's stunning.
It truly is paradise.
It is.
And the people are amazing. Warm, welcoming, and so resilient.
So to our listeners, if you ever get the chance to visit the Maldives, go for it. See those incredible islands.
Yeah.
Experience the culture.
Meet the people.
Learn from them.
That's right.
And until then, keep learning, keep exploring, keep diving deeper into our amazing world.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
That's it for this deep dive. We hope you enjoyed the journey.
We did.
And that you've come away with a new appreciation for the Maldives, its people, and the challenges they face.
For sure.
Until next time, keep those brains bubbling.